Good afternoon. Creative, colorful people have moved over, and it's now time for the Boomer Beat here on WCOMLP Chapel Hill in Carrboro. I'm your host, Beverly Mahone, and under cloudy skies today here in beautiful downtown Carrboro, but hopefully the sun is shining in your heart no matter where you are, even if it's raining or snowing or whatever. Today's program is underwritten by Auto House Import Service, home of great employees and superb service. Donna and Doug Rogers are the owners. They're located at 6814 Davis Drive in Raleigh. Stop by, say hi, and tell them thank you for being supporters of WCOM. Well, today we are going to talk about the crazies. That's right, not the Cameron crazies. We are going to talk about those crazy folks in social media. They're all over the place. Are you one of them? I might be one of them. We're going to do a little survey and find out if, in fact, you are one of the social media crazies on Facebook, Twitter. I don't think you can be crazy on LinkedIn because it really is all about business there, even though I'm sure a few weirdos slip through the cracks. But there's MySpace. Oh my God, there's FriendFeed. Oh, let's see, what else? There's just so many. And we're going to talk about them today and just to see exactly what in the world is going on with this social media overkill. My good friend Mitch Mitchell will be joining me shortly, all the way from New York, as he prepares to sit back for the rest of the afternoon and enjoy the Syracuse Orange Men play some basketball this afternoon. They're taking on St. John's, I believe, after that controversial game last night, which, you know what? I don't even want to talk about it. I just want to talk about social media. I do think Rutgers should have won that game, but that's neither here nor there. But today we are going to talk about social media. And you know what? The cool thing about social media is that that is the way of the world today.
Heart's on fire, creates love, desire. days go.
All right, that's the way of the world, earth, wind, and fire. And that's the way of social media these days. Is there too much social media going on in your life? That's the subject today. And now joining me is my very special guest, who I like to say is a social media guru, Mitch Mitchell. Hey, Mitch.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing good. What's up?
Just waiting for the Syracuse game.
That's what I said. I knew you were. So I said, you know, he's going to grace us with his presence until, like, you know, it's time for the tip-off. And then you're off glued to the set. But anyway, we're talking about social media overkill. And, you know, you have been on the scene for quite some time, as a matter of fact, because you and I met a few years back on a network called Rise. You recall that?
Oh, yeah.
So, and we're still out there. And I think that we're going even stronger than ever. So do you think that you personally are involved in the overkill of social media?
I wouldn't say it that way. You know, you talk about overkill, and the truth of the matter is not everybody is ready for social media, or they're certainly not ready for all of the things that are out there. And it's one of those things that, as business people, they have to really think about, because, you know, every business isn't going to work on Twitter, and every business isn't going to work on Facebook. And for all the other people, you know, if you're not ready for it, you just don't do it. But it's nice having all these options out there. That's the way I kind of see it.
But here's the thing. There are so many people out there doing it, and a lot of people aren't really doing it right. And I say right because I guess it's according to Beverly's right. But how do you know if you really are doing it right or wrong? Because Facebook, you know, started out for teens and college students. And now all of a sudden, according to the latest research, is baby boomers over the age of 45 have become the largest segment out on Facebook. So how do you really know if you're doing it right or not?
Well, I think you can look at different types of metrics to figure it out. It's not just about numbers. And there are those people who write and say, this is how you can get all these numbers. And to me, that's kind of gaming the system. I think you can look at numbers, and if you have, say, maybe 100 people who are following you, but you're also engaging with all those people, then you're doing it right. You may not be doing it big, but you're doing it right, because the idea behind social media really was for people to engage with each other, not just put out information and not care what anyone thinks.
But here you have now people who have thousands upon thousands of followers, and I would beg to believe that they don't even know half of them, but they are connecting with them to draw up their numbers. Why are they doing that, in your opinion?
Well, I remember talking to a guy many years ago. I think you knew him from Rise. His name was Scott Allen. And Scott Allen was one of the first people who ever told me that he felt that the higher the numbers, the more opportunities there were for his message to be spread to the largest amount of people later on. And on the surface, that sounds legitimate. Yeah, geez, if I've got 20,000 people following me and I put out a message, there's an opportunity that 20,000 people are going to see that message, and they'll retweet it and, you know, pass it on to people they know, and my message is going to spread. But the truth of the matter is that if there's no engagement, you can have 20,000 people who are all interested in horse riding, and if you're talking about social media, your message isn't going to get tweeted to anybody regardless. So, it gets down to just like regular marketing. You want to really have people who are interested in what it is you have to say. And if I'm going, you know, sending my message out to 100 people that are really interested in what I have to say, and then they forward it out, to me that's much more valuable than having 20,000 people and maybe 100 look at it and say, hey, you know, I'll forward this to someone else.
Do you think that we should befriend everyone who wants to be our friend, even if we know them?
No. Okay, and I'll start with that, and then, you know, I'll spread it out. I will put it this way. On Twitter, no, because a lot of accounts are spam. I've been seeing a lot of these lately where I've got people who are following me, and they've got 5,000 people following them, and they're following 5,000 people, yet they haven't sent out a single tweet. Well, you know, that's waste. You know, that's, you know, useless. Who cares? That means nothing. And on Facebook, I haven't seen it happen as much lately, but there used to be a time where you just had all kind of people sending you friend requests, and you didn't know who these people were, and they weren't connected to anyone else you knew, and I was one of those people who would just ignore it. But some people think, well, geez, this is now someone new. I'll just add everybody. But to me, if you start to lament that you have no real privacy anymore, that's kind of your fault, because you've allowed all these people to hook up with you. And if you want to have the opportunity to control your message somewhat, then you have to take the responsibility of saying, I'm not going to just add everybody just because they've added me.
Okay, so what do you mean about controlling your message?
Well, okay, think about Facebook. And, you know, I think we've talked before that Facebook is really all about eliminating privacy. They believe, kind of like Google does, that the more open society gets, the safer everybody's going to be because now no one has a reason to hide anything. So here I am now on Facebook, and just 2 weeks ago they announced that anybody who has put up their address and their phone number on Facebook, all that information is now going to be released to all their advertisers. Well, if you don't want all that information released, you shouldn't have put it on Facebook. It was never a requirement that you added any of that stuff. So, you know, there is a way of kind of controlling your message. When Facebook first added something a few months ago where, remember they used to have an area where you could put down the things that you liked and movies you liked and TVs you liked?
I do.
Well, what they then did is they said, okay, for every one of these things, we're now going to create a group. And you're going to automatically be a part of this group, and that's going to connect you with millions of people, and now you can all talk about it. Well, no, I didn't want all that. I didn't want to join a group. I didn't want to start getting all these messages from all these people I didn't know, so I removed it all. That's kind of what I mean about controlling your message. It's like people who put pictures up there of them doing things that they'd rather everyone not know, and they think they can make it private and everything is all good. Well, we've seen how well that works. It doesn't work at all.
Not at all.
So, you know, it's stuff like that where you kind of control your message. You know, I have a friend who a couple years ago, her daughter was living in a different state, and she created a Twitter account just so she could talk to her daughter. And then one time I was talking to her about it, and I said, oh, well, are you protecting your tweets? She says, no, what's that? Said, well, that way you're just you and your daughter communicating. Basically, right now, everyone can see what you're writing if they're connected to you. And she was stunned. She thought just because she had hooked up with her daughter, that was it. And I said, no, that's not how that works. And instead of creating a private account, she basically got off Twitter, said she was never doing it again. Well, you know, there's your way of controlling the message. You could have gone the other route. You didn't have to, you know, go so drastic and kill it. But the thing is, people sign up for different things without realizing just how much of their privacy they're actually giving away to someone else.
We're talking about social media overkill on this edition of the Boomer Beat here on WCOM. I'm Beverly Mahone with my very special guest, Mitch Mitchell, and we'll be back in just a moment. And you know something, Mitch? I think there are some people who get up in the morning and think social media, that's the last thing on their minds at night, and some of them are probably even dreaming about it. Here's Even When You Sleep by the SOS Band.
My dreams are made of
good. Even When You Sleep, that's the SOS Band off of their CD, The Best of the SOS Band. Good afternoon. You're listening to the Boomer Beat here on WCOM. I'm Beverly Mahone, and my very special guest today is social media guru Mitch Mitchell. Hey, Mitch, we're talking about social media overkill and something I said, and I just kind of made up this word. Do you have social media-itis? And you know, I have to admit, not that long ago, I was getting up in the morning before I did anything else and turning on my computer and checking my email or going on Facebook to find out, you know, if anybody sent me a message or actually putting out a message. And it got to the point where I thought, okay, this is really crazy. And it was kind of like, you know, getting on my husband's nerves too, you know. So I had to wake up in a different frame of mind, because what I discovered was social media, social networking can consume you. Did you ever feel that way at some point?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I think that every time there's something new that kind of engages you, you can get taken over by it. When I first signed on to Facebook back 3 years ago now, it was fascinating. And there were all these things that were out there. There were all these groups and all these different people and games, you know, all the different apps. And you can get yourself sucked into it and kill a lot of time on it. And at a certain point, you start to gain control of yourself again, and you start seeing it more for what it's worth. And you say, okay, it's time to now back away a little bit from this. Probably the only thing I still do, and it's because I sometimes keep some odd hours, as you know, is I do still check my email in the morning to see if there's anything this business related or anything I have to take care of before I move on to my next project.
Let me ask you a question. This is kind of switching gears a bit here, but I read recently where a young man was denied a job, and I believe it was in Maryland, if I'm not mistaken, because he refused to give up his passwords for his social media sites, and I believe it was MySpace and Facebook. He just refused. He said, you know, why do you need it? Which, you know, so my question to you is, what is your reaction to that? Because, you know, he had a chance to get a job, and as I understand it, he's still unemployed. So what's your reaction to the fact that an employer would ask an applicant to give up their password information during a job interview?
You know what? If I had the money, I'd sue the company. They don't have any right to that information. You know, here's the way I kind of see it. If you're going to be working a job that's kind of protected, like maybe you need clearance for something, or you're going to be working on something highly technical, or even something specifically financial, and you're asked for information related to that so that they can check it out, okay, now that kind of makes sense. But for someone to ask you for a password and there's no guarantee that you're going to get the job, oh, there's no way. I don't know how a company could think they would have the right to do that. Now, they probably think they have the right because there are going to be some people who are going to absolutely do it. And I tend to be one of those people, and maybe it's because I'm a product of, you know, the Sputnik generation, so to speak, where I don't trust people with certain information about me because I don't know what they're going to do with it. And I think when we get to that point, and like I said, this is what Google and Facebook are looking to do, where you lose every bit of privacy on yourself, you know, I think that's going to backfire. I think that's a bad thing. I really don't think we want to know every single little thing about everybody. At least I certainly don't.
And neither do I. But let me ask you this. If you're going for a job and the employer, potential employer, asks you if they can befriend you on Facebook or connect with you on Twitter or be connected to you on LinkedIn, what do you think about that? Not having your password, just, hey, you get the job. I want to make sure we're connected on these social media sites.
If it, well, And once again, I think it's probably because I'm older and I'm an independent consultant. If it's me, I say no. I have always maintained, and you know I don't only do social media. I've done leadership and management, you know, seminars as well. And I've always been of the opinion that you try to separate what happens in your personal life from your business life. I don't want to know. If it doesn't have anything to do with the company, no. I don't have a right to know that. Now, and I know they'll say, but we never know if it has a right to know. You know what? I don't care. I have probably turned down some consulting assignments for, you know, those very reasons, where people want to ask certain information, and my stance is, okay, I want yours. Oh, well, we can't give that out. Why not? So, no. Mm-mm.
There was a case recently here in North Carolina where a young lady was fired from her job at a pizza restaurant because she complained about the lack of tipping from a couple who had come into the restaurant. I don't know exactly what it said on her Facebook page, but she did complain about the couple and the fact that they did not leave her a tip and how she had gone out of her way to give them top-notch service, and, you know, she just did not like it. Well, the employer got wind of it, and he fired her. What do you think about that?
I've got a couple of thoughts on that. One, if you named where you are or where you work and whatever, and you were stupid, you know, well, you were stupid, and you suffered the consequences for it, that's one. On the other hand, I don't remember what state it is, but the National Labor Relations Board just won a lawsuit against the company that fired someone who complained about their supervisor in their department. And basically the judgment came down saying that those people have the right to free speech on their own time in their own personal space, even if that space is public.
Oh.
So now all of a sudden companies are not going to be allowed to fire somebody who says bad things about the people they work with. Now, having said that, it's still idiocy because people aren't going to still treat you the same. You know, they may have to treat you professional, but if you think, you know, you're going to be able to have a good working relationship with those people ever again, you've lost your mind.
Oh, okay. Now, see, I didn't know that. All right. Well, you know what? We're going to take another break here. It's the bottom of the hour. And when we come back, I'm going to ask you some questions about what we should be on the lookout for when it comes to Facebook and Twitter. I know you said we shouldn't be giving up too much information, but want to pick your brain about what else we should also be on the lookout for. You're listening to WCOM LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
Tell all the
All right, Love Train. That's by the OJs. And the OJs are actually from my hometown. So, you know, of course, I'm celebrating the fact that they continue to put out good music. And you know what, Mitch? I have to say this. You kind of have a Love Train on your blogs, because the one thing that I, well, let me tell you, folks, Mitch has this blog called imjustsharing.com, and I'm a subscriber, and don't get to it as often as I'd like to, but I do get to it, and I always notice that you've got posts from, like, all these other foreign countries and all these other people, and I'm saying, oh my God, you connected with all these people on social media. I'm assuming you did, right?
Yep.
And they just kind of followed you and your blog and the whole nine yards.
Well, you know, really, that's the whole thing about social media and engagement, is we meet these people from all over the world, and you have an opportunity to learn something about them and break down certain preconceived notions that you might have had about people in other countries, especially if you don't have the opportunity to travel. And these days, the way, you know, the world is, I'm not going anywhere. So it's nice to, you know, meet some people who, they must be friendly towards Americans because they're talking to me.
And that they are. And I've actually been able to engage with some of them through you. So that's another cool thing about social media, is that you can connect with other people through an individual, and it just, you know, grows everything and grows everybody, I think.
Oh, yes. Yes. And, you know, really, that's what it was all about, is meeting other people. It's not about, as weird as it sounds, it's not always just about you, the person or the business. And we've both seen that, where people just put out this stuff over and over and over, and they never talk to anybody. And I eventually drop those people because that just gets on my nerve. You know, I want to see someone who's at least going to talk to somebody who might, you know, say something to them, especially if it's me. You know, if I try to talk to somebody and they keep ignoring me, then I just drop them and move on.
What warnings do you have for folks specifically on Facebook? I know you said you shouldn't be giving out too much information, but are there any other warnings that people should be aware of?
Well, let's talk about pictures for a minute. Something that Facebook put into place about 4 to 6 weeks ago is they announced that any picture that any person has on Facebook will now be offered up to their advertisers to use in their advertisements. And they do that because there's this little thing that most people never noticed in the terms of service or Facebook that says to their site they have access to. So one day you could be heading on to play maybe a game and you may see your image in a dating image, in a dating advertisement. And that's happened, where people have seen images of themselves or images of someone they know in some kind of advertisement on Facebook. And they're like, wow, I didn't know you were getting anything for that. And you're not. But that's a reality now. So now you have lost control of images that you put up. So you might want to check that every once in a while, because basically, you know, you've given them the right to do it.
Well, how have you given them the right to do it? Just by the mere fact that you put up a picture?
Exactly.
Oh.
You put a picture on their site. And that's, by the way, they're not alone. Twitter says the same thing. You know, like every once in a while, you'll see someone has a link to an image, and instead of it linking to somebody's website, it links to one of those, I don't even know what you call them, but it's something where if you click it up, it will open up in Twitter rather than opening up on a totally different website. Per the Twitter terms of service, if it's on their site and they decided they wanted to do something with it, they can.
Okay, that's I'm glad to know that as well, because I am also active on Twitter. I don't click on too many links from other people unless I really, really know them. But I do appreciate you sharing that information. Let me ask you, I got spammed a few weeks ago by a person I thought was my friend, like my best friend from childhood. There was some post I had put on and, you know, I had all these comments, and then up pops her comment, which wasn't even related to the post. It said Southwest Airlines is giving away free tickets or tickets at a discounted rate just click on this link. Well, it was from my dear friend, and I thought, okay, let me check. Well, I clicked it on, and needless to say, it was spam, and all my friends got spammed as a result. And so how can we guard against being spammed like that, I guess, other than just not click on the link?
Well, one of the things I've noticed is that we forget to pay attention to the patterns that people we engage with exhibit. And I've seen those same types of links. And the thing is, I will say, well, okay, now let's see. This is someone I've talked to before. They've never done this before. They usually always say something. Even if they're going to link to another page, they may tell you, hey, I read this article on such and such, whatever, and this is the link to it. And if you see that kind of thing, you know, okay, that's safe. But if they're out of character, like some of those links, if it doesn't pull up a picture or doesn't pull up a website or anything, you could probably guess that that's spam because, you know, if you put in a link on Facebook, it pulls something up. I mean, it always does. But if it doesn't, that's spam, and people have to pay attention to that. You know, it's the same with email. How come, you know, you see all these emails that go out, almost everybody these days has a tagline of some kind. So if you get an email from someone and there's no tagline and they've always had a tagline before, you need to know, hey, that's spam, or that's someone trying to trick me so they can put malware or something on my computer.
Okay.
Pay attention.
Yes, that's good to know as well, because I get lots of those emails. Does that mean that someone has actually broken in the code of somebody's email? How does that happen? I'm always curious about that when I get emails from people that I know is spam.
Sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. For instance, there are people who get an email from an email address they recognize, but there's no name attached to it. That should be an automatic red flag. Because everyone, you know, who creates an email address, their name comes up when you get that email. So that should be an automatic red flag. And AOL seems to be the best one because people just click on those things all the time, and then what happens is it gets into their computer and suddenly it's sending out email to everybody. And, you know, to me it's easy to tell. And I write those people all the time and say, okay, your account has been broken into and you need to fix it. But it's not. That's not the only way emails are garnered. There are these programs that people can send out where they will scan the internet. They will send out a bunch of emails, and it may be for almost nothing. But there's something down there where it says, "Okay, unsubscribe from this." And if you go and unsubscribe for something that you didn't put in for, you've just validated that that email address is good. And then these companies will take all these email addresses and they sell them.
Oh, how many times have I done that? Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I've done that a lot.
Yep. And, that was a recommendation pretty much like 3 or 4 years ago that says if you get something out of the blue and you know you didn't subscribe for it, don't unsubscribe. Unless you get it, you know, time after time after time. But don't unsubscribe because basically you're confirming that's a legitimate email address.
Thank you very much for that. I'm sure the listeners appreciate that as well. Let me ask you about, we talked about pictures and, you know, the fact that now at Facebook anyway can sell your picture. Should we be concerned if there is no picture associated with that person? And the reason that I ask this is because I still have some Facebook friends. I think they're friends who don't have their pictures up. And I actually went to one of my friend's websites and I posted a comment. I said, when are you going to put a picture up? She's been on Facebook almost a year. Where's your picture? Could that be spam, possibly?
It could be, because you find out the basic thing for Facebook says that you can only associate one account with one email address. Well, someone like me, I have 15 email addresses. So by rights, I could create 15 different accounts. And I could put up almost anything and, you know, have one legit and 14 bad accounts. And there's people who do that exact kind of thing. And there's some people who do it because they say, well, I want to separate a business account from a personal account. So they'll do it. Facebook really doesn't want you to do that, but people do it. So if they don't have a picture, you have to at least verify that it's someone you know. For me, if I don't know who this is and they want to connect with me and don't have a picture, I just ignore it. But if it's a name that I recognize, I may at least send a return message to try to verify if it's them. And if they respond, then I might add them, but I will always say, okay, when are you going to add a picture? But if they don't respond, then I don't add them.
Oh, I see. Okay. And especially on Twitter, I think that just the opposite is true. We tend to get pictures of very voluptuous women. I don't know if you've gotten any, but I've gotten my share. And the business may sound legitimate, or they may what they say they represent may sound legitimate, but I can't get past the picture. That disturbs me.
Yeah, an overwhelming majority, and you can't say all, and that's one of those kind of things, but overwhelming majority, if you get a picture of a young lady who's taking a picture of herself in a mirror, it's not real. If you don't know who those people are, just don't add them.
Okay, see, that's good news to know as well. All right, now, so let's talk more about Facebook here. Should we be using Facebook for business, or should that be just strictly for really connecting with your friends and just having some great conversations, et cetera, et cetera?
You can do both. I for instance, I have a business page, and I believe you might have
several.
I think you have a group, but yeah. I have a business page. And, you know, on my regular Facebook page, I engage people and I talk whatever, but on my business page, I only put links that have something to do with my blogs or my business, and I will put up topics every once in a while that have something to do with my business, and that's a separate thing. And I have people who join it, and that's fine because they've joined voluntarily. I have not, you know, twisted anyone to it. You can't just add someone to follow you on a business page. They actually have to want to do it. And it's become a big thing. You have a lot of major corporations that have Facebook business pages. And it works out well for them because then they can put out promotions and they can offer, you know, gifts and trips and all, you know, money. And it's not a bad thing. If people are joining voluntarily, that's never a bad thing. So, you know, I say the same thing with Twitter. There's no problem with businesses being on Twitter. Matter of fact, any business should really be on Twitter, if only to track comments made about them for their customer service initiatives.
Can you do too much social networking? I mean, you know, for example, on Facebook, you know, I'll get up in the morning and I might put out some message. And then, you know, people will comment, and then something else will happen during the day. I'll put out another message, and then something else will happen, and I'll put out another message. And then I'll go and I'll comment on, you know, things I see that are interesting in my thread. Should there be a limit to what you do on Facebook and Twitter? Because there are some tweets that I see, oh my God, like every couple of minutes, it's a tweet. And I'm thinking, okay, is this overkill or what? And some people say no, because of the thousands of people who are there, you know, some people may miss the tweet. So you just have to be repetitive. What do you say?
For my personal taste, every once in a while, I do believe that there are some people who do overkill. But you know what? I relate it to the same thing that I say about athlete salaries, which basically says if there's someone willing to pay that athlete for that, then I don't have a problem with the salary. And it's the same with Twitter and all the other social media. You know, personally, if you're getting out of it what you are hoping to get out of it, which means either more business or more personal connections or it's just fun, and you're not taking away from other stuff that you need to be doing, then it's not overkill. But at the same time, because I see some of those same people at like every 3 or 4 minutes, they're putting out a message, and you know that's automated, especially when it's 24 hours a day. We all have the option of dropping those people. And at a certain point, some of these people will learn that, hey, you know, I'm doing all this, and I've gotten some people, but I'm also having a lot of people drop off. And then they'll make the decision as to whether they're going to continue or they're going to leave. It's kind of like when we go to blogs, certain blogs, and all of a sudden that window pops up asking you if you want to sign up for their newsletter. I hate that. So usually I won't go back. But studies have shown that a lot of people end up with people who will sign up for their newsletter. Now, they end up with less comments, but they get people sign up for their newsletter. If that's all they care about, then they're going to continue doing it, and they're going to be happy. And the rest of us will just move on to someone else.
Well, I'm glad that I actually moved on to this next, actually, this song is by one of my connections on Facebook. We were talking, and I came to find out that she was in a band, and I kind of just casually said, oh, you know what, I'd love to hear some of your music sometime, and lo and behold, she sent me 3 CDs. So we are going to listen to a cut off of one of the CDs. It's their rendition of Sweet Soul Music, and this is from my Facebook friend, Carrie Kimball.
A little Sweet Soul Music for you now.
Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Remember this one? Do you like good music?
Yeah, yeah.
That sweet soul music.
Yeah, yeah.
Just call me the swinger.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care off the dance floor.
Yeah, yeah.
All the going to a go-go.
All right, now, there you have it. That's Carrie Kimball and her husband, Rusty, and their band out of California, and my Facebook friend. How about that, Mitch?
That's pretty neat.
Isn't that something? So you never know who you're connected with, and you never know how those connections can really help you in one way or another, just like you and me being connected. I mean, I can always, most of the time anyway, call you up and say, hey, Mitch, can you come on the show? And you always say, yeah, if I can do it, I'll be there.
Yeah, so easy.
I love it. Okay, so which one is your favorite social media site?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know what? I'm going to tell you, most probably Twitter.
Okay, because?
Twitter is one of those kind of things where I can put it, I can leave it on all day long, but I can kind of have it in the background. So I don't have to be sitting there reading all the text. And if someone actually sends me a message, I hear a little alert, and then I can go look at it. Or if they mention my name, I can go look at it, and then I can say something. And I can pull it up at any time and go back and read some of the messages that may not have been to me. And I can talk to people on Twitter pretty much around the clock. I mean, I keep some odd hours, but because of that, I can talk to people in California real late at night. I talk to people. I have friends in Singapore and Australia and in different European countries. And it's just amazing that, you know, you can talk to those people sometimes almost immediately. If they've written something, I can say hi to them, and quite often they'll say, hi, how you doing? And we'll talk.
But are you actually getting real engaging conversation on Twitter? I am not finding that so much. I do have a special way that I actually go on to Twitter with my little romper room, and that's how I engage folks. But I don't find really a whole lot of conversation going on unless I'm just not connected to the right people.
Maybe you're not connected to the right people. I do. I have, for instance, I have a friend in Nebraska, and I met him online, I think, 1996. And real late at night, because he's a couple hours away and he works a night job, we will have these long conversations. We'll talk, you know, half hour, 45 minutes. And yes, it's shorter. Obviously, you only have the 140 characters, but there's nothing saying that you can't get it all in. Maybe you send 3 or 4 messages in a row to complete a thought. But yeah, I have conversations with people all the time.
And so you think that Twitter and Facebook are going to be around a while? Going to be around a while, or is somebody going to create something else that's just going to be so phenomenal and mind-blowing that we're all going to be sucked into that as well?
You want to know the truth? I really think that at a certain point, Facebook is going to flame out. And the reason I say that is because there is so much that one can do there, but the truth of the matter is there's really not a lot of conversation on Facebook. Twitter is a different story. For instance, I gave a presentation Monday night at one of the local libraries, and one of the things I mentioned was that in this day and age, anytime something happens that's big, you will read about it on Twitter before you hear about it on the news.
That is true. That is true.
And that's amazing.
Well, because Twitter is immediate. I mean, even though Facebook is immediate too, but not as many. I think this is just a different way of disseminating the information. I remember putting something up on my Facebook media page when the news broke that Charlie Sheen had been fired. And, didn't hardly get any kind of response. I put it up on Twitter, boy, and it was retweeted and retweeted and retweeted and retweeted. So I guess you are right about, how people get the information and get the news. I don't know if they're really looking for news on Facebook, though.
No. Well, that's just it. Facebook, for instance, I mean, you have a group and I have a business page. And I don't get a lot of people who talk on that. Probably because it's almost like the old forum system where, you know, you leave a message and now someone might see you in their stream or they might not, and they may get to it eventually. But on Twitter, if you announce, oh, my God, there was just a shooting across the street a minute ago, well, you know, that's immediate. And no one else has that. And people who are following you say, oh, my God, what's that? And then they're going to ask questions and they're going to start sharing it because everyone else is going to see it. Twitter in that form is probably here to stay. There may be copycats who do kind of the same thing. Matter of fact, there are sites that are being created now that try to integrate all of the different social media areas, but they're trying to integrate it. They're not trying to become the new Twitter. They're just trying to get a piece of whatever Twitter is. So I think that Twitter really does show some of the immediacy. I'm remembering when there was the airplane crash in Buffalo 2 years ago. And I'm in New York, so obviously it's a bigger story for me. Well, it was all over Twitter probably 15 minutes before I got the first news alert through email.
Wow.
Because people were right there on the ground. And they saw it, and, you know, people these days that have these smartphones, they just, oh, my God, you know, all the messages were coming out. And, you know, they saw the houses burning, and they saw all this other kind of stuff going on. And it took the press, you know, at least 10, 15 minutes to get there.
Wow, that's incredible. I didn't realize that as either. Maybe I wasn't even on Twitter that day. I don't recall. It's been so long ago now.
Yeah. Well, last year we had the thing down in Binghamton where this kid went into one of the buildings and shot up a lot of people. It was all over Twitter before the press got there.
Well, Mitch, the music in the background says that there's two things that's going to happen. Number one, the show is getting ready to end. And number two, your show is getting ready to begin.
All right.
Okay. I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day to be my co-host. Now, tell folks how they can get up with you, learn more about you and what you do.
Go to my blog, which is imjustsharing.com. No apostrophe, just imjustsharing.com. And that will at least introduce you to me, and you can contact me through there.
And he has a wonderful blog, folks. I mean, he really does. It's some of it's technical. It's educational for sure. And definitely entertaining. And he has a wonderful group of followers who also, you know, share their also interesting thoughts. Okay, well, who's going to, you want to predict who's going to win the NCAA tournament right now? Or you want to just hold off until some other time?
You know what? I'm going to hold off because I personally don't think there's a really strong team that has proven themselves all year. I think it's up for grabs.
Well, you know, I'm just going to go out on a limb and just say Ohio State. Go Buckeyes. Okay. All right. Thanks, folks, for tuning in. We'll see you next week. You're listening to WCOM LP Chapel Hill and Carborough. Jesse won't be in today, so just sit back and enjoy some Latino music from the network. It's now 2 o'clock.